Good morning. I'd like to greet you this morning with the words of Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to each of you that have come to worship this morning. If you're a guest here, we're glad that you came, and we extend a hearty welcome to you as well. It is Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day to the mothers, and may God bless you today as he's blessed you in the past, and we pray that he will continue to bless and keep you. My desire this morning is found in the book of Psalm 19, verse 14, where you read, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." Let us pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace, and Lord, we thank you for the dawn of a beautiful new day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather in your house, to sing your praises, to fellowship with you, to fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for each one that you have sent out this morning and for the opportunity to share your word. And Lord, I just pray that I'll be open to your Spirit's leading and that what is spoken will honor and glorify your holy name. That what is spoken will be an encouragement. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will touch each heart that is gathered here this morning. And Lord, we pray for a hedge of protection around us, ward off Satan and his forces that so often want to distract or disturb us from focusing on you and on your holy word. And Lord, we pray for those that are ill. We ask for your hand of healing. And if that is not meant to be, Lord, keep them strong and steadfast until the time that you release them from an earthly body and take them home to be with you in eternal glory. And Lord, we thank you for mothers that loved you and in turn have loved us and loved our children and brought them up in a way that brings them back to you. And Lord, there's such a blessing, and may you bless them in a special way today. Lord, we commit our service to you. Use it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. At this time, we have some congregational singing, please.
Let's take our red hymnals and turn to page 53. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Page 53.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He
For an opening scripture passage this morning, I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'd like to read the first six verses. Hebrews 11 is often referred to as the faith chapter. And in the catechism this morning, the first portion that we'll be starting off with is entitled Faith in Christ. And you know, to you as baptism candidates, and this being Mother's Day, I am sure whether your mothers are still with you or not, but if they are, they're rejoicing, they're blessed, they're encouraged by you taking the step and following the example of Christ, being obedient to his teaching and following through upon the confession of your faith and wanting to be baptized. Faith is something that is passed on by godly parents. Faith is something we need to place our trust in Jesus Christ. And in the book of Hebrews, picking up in chapter 11, verse 1, we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we could read on, and I want to encourage you, take the time, after you've gone home today, to read the entire chapter of Hebrews 11. It is so many stories there, or relations to people that through faith and how they were blessed. And it's no different for you and me. Through faith, God blesses us. We do not always understand. And in the first six verses, we see how he relates to God's creation when he spoke and things came into being. He didn't need any, you might call it, raw materials to create certain things. He simply spoke and it was there. Can you and I fully grasp and understand this? No. But by faith, we accept that and we believe that. And that is how our entire Christian life is. We may not always fully grasp or understand God's ways, but we trust or we have faith, knowing that he is in control. We don't worry about tomorrow or weeks down the road or what the future holds, because by faith we know who holds the future, and that is Jesus Christ himself. So how beautiful it is to place our trust in someone that has always been there, that is there, and always will be there. He is the solid foundation on which we build our life, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As you read in verse 6, God is a rewarder. He blesses us with blessings that sometimes are immeasurable. And you know, and often when we think of blessings, we think of material things. You know, those things, they fade away, they rust, they are there for a season, they're there for us to use and enjoy. But the real blessings are the spiritual blessings that God gives us on a daily basis. So at this time, we'd like to turn to our catechism. We'll be starting on page 55. And I'd like to ask you as candidates to please stand and answer the questions as we follow through. Question one. What is the true way to salvation?
Faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, and his shed blood.
Do we earn salvation by faith?
No, but by faith embraces the finished work of Christ, whereby we obtain salvation and eternal life.
What is true faith?
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
What does true faith imply?
Real repentance and change of mind, that we become convinced of our sinfulness and repent thereof.
What change is brought about in a believer's heart?
He is converted from the error of his way unto Christ the Shepherd and the Bishop of our souls.
Right. So the way to salvation is by placing your faith, us all placing our faith in Jesus Christ, who gave his life, who shed his blood, to pay or to atone the penalty that we really deserve to pay. And what does true faith imply? Real repentance. And the word repent is much deeper than just being sorry. It also means that with the Lord's help, we change our ways because we have repented. Page 57, regeneration and good works. Question, what is this change of heart called in the New Testament?
It is called regeneration, a new creation.
Who brings about regeneration in us?
God himself brings about regeneration in us by his word and spirit unto the obedience of Christ.
Is it necessary then to be born again to be a true Christian?
Yes, for without regeneration no one can see the kingdom of God.
Does regeneration produce a godly life?
Yes, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
Can we not, through our own strength, avoid sin and do good?
No, for Christ says, without me, ye can do nothing.
Is holy living possible only through Christ and his grace?
Yes, for Christ is made of God unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Right. So regeneration and good works. You know, the good works in and of itself don't provide us our salvation. But because we have committed our life to Jesus Christ, because we are saved, our life will demonstrate that commitment. It will show to others that we're not just, we might call it another run-of-the-mill individual and live like a non-Christian, but our life will exemplify Jesus Christ and show those around us that we're sincere about our faith in Jesus. Justification, question 12. What is justification?
When the repentant sinner, through his faith, is declared righteous in Christ.
Is a sinner justified by his grace?
Yes, we are justified freely without any merit of our own by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Wherein does justification benefit us?
To have peace with God as his children, to have been freed from the bondage of sin, and to be aided in perfecting holiness.
Right. So when we commit our life to Christ, ask his forgiveness, we're declared righteous, or we're made right with God. And it is not something we deserve, but God, through his love, his grace, and his mercy, he gives it to us when we ask. Sanctification, question 15, what is sanctification?
To be sanctified is to be freed from the dominion of sin and to preserve in well-doing.
Must a Christian become holy?
Yes, for as he who called us is holy, so must we be holy in all.
Who produces sanctification in us?
We are sanctified and justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God.
Right. So to be sanctified is to be freed. You know, sin doesn't have control over us. Will we mess up? Absolutely. We will commit sin, but the Holy Spirit that lives in your life and in my life will convict us. It will tell us, and we often call it our conscience bothers us, and it gives us opportunity to repent, to make things right, to ask for forgiveness, and if it involves other people, to ask their forgiveness as well. And this is produced by Jesus' presence in our lives. The Church of God, question 18, what is the collective body of believers called?
The Church of God.
How does Christ regard his church?
As his body, he is the head of the body, the church.
Are all who profess to belong to the Church of God true members of the body of Christ?
No, they only are the true members who by faith in Christ have become the children of God.
Are there to be teachers and ministers in the church?
Yes, the teachers are to preach the word diligently and exhort, but the church is to hear and obey.
Right. God's church is the body of believers. It's not just a certain denomination. It is all people that have committed their life to Jesus Christ. We are members of his church. And then as individual denominations, we function as a church. We have leaders. We have those that teach and preach. And they're supposed to be serious about this and to exhort or to encourage others to put their faith and trust in Christ. Page 63, baptism. Did the Lord Jesus give a command concerning baptism?
Yes, he said to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit."
Is baptism necessary?
Yes, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Who are to be baptized?
All who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are converted unto him.
What is the purpose of baptism?
It serves as a sign of putting on Christ and of being united with the church.
What does baptism teach us?
That we were buried with Christ by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life.
Right. So Christ himself was baptized. And when John the Baptist was baptizing people, he baptized them upon the remorse of sin or when they were sorry for the sin they had committed, but he did not baptize them in the name of Christ or that the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then when Christ asked John to baptize him, John was reluctant, and yet he followed through after Jesus made it clear to him, and we today follow the example of Jesus Christ. And the difference today is when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit has been sent into this world and it moves into our hearts. And we follow through with baptism by showing Christ that we are sincere with our faith in him. And baptism exemplifies what has happened in the depths of our heart. The Lord's Supper. Question, who instituted the Lord's Supper?
The Lord Jesus himself in the night when he was betrayed.
With what did he institute it?
With bread and wine.
For what purpose was the Lord's Supper instituted?
To commemorate the sufferings and death of Christ, to serve as a token of communion with Christ and of communion of believers with each other.
Is the Lord's Supper to be commemorated often?
Yes, according to the example of the first Christians.
Who is to commemorate it?
All baptized, repentant believers.
What is demanded of them?
True examination. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
What are we to show forth thereby?
We are thereby to show forth the Lord's death till he come.
What did the Lord Jesus do to his disciples after the supper?
He washed their feet and said, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to out to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you shall do as I have done to you.
Right. The Lord's Supper, or as we call it today, communion, was instituted by Jesus himself just before he suffered and died, and we commemorate it today to remind ourselves of what it cost Christ to save you and me. And it is something all baptized and repentant believers are to commemorate. And it is also often a time to examine ourselves personally, very deeply, and prepare ourselves, if there's things where we have come short, to come to communion and to fellowship with other brothers and sisters and with Christ with a clear conscience. The life and conduct of the believers. Chapter 4, question 1. What should be the believers' conduct in their daily walk and life?
As the redeemed of the Lord, they should serve God in holiness and righteousness, which is acceptable to him, and let their good works shine before men.
Did the Lord Jesus give us a command?
Yes, he said, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you.
Shall we also love our enemies?
Yes, Christ said, Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven.
Right. The life and conduct of believers. You know, our daily life, our daily talk, our walk should exemplify Christ. We should treat others as we want to be treated. You know, and one of the things that stands out to me, and I believe I learned this before I was in grade one. The kindergarten back then was not what it is today. It, I think, was half hour, a couple of days a week. But we were taught at a very young age, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, and we all appreciate to be treated well. And in order to be treated well, we treat others well. We exemplify Christ. And one of the challenging ways to exemplify Christ is loving those that here talks about enemies, loving those that are maybe not always that easy to love, loving on those that maybe irk us and sometimes get us upset. But to pray for them is the easiest way to make an end of an enemy. They become a friend. We become concerned for them, and it is our Christian duty. Non-resistance and suffering. Question, what ought we to do when we are injured by anyone?
We are not to render evil for evil or railing for railing.
Should a true Christian suffer patiently?
Yes, for it is written, For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps.
How does the Lord Jesus comfort his followers in sufferings?
He says, Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, for great is your reward in heaven.
Right. So, revenge is not acceptable for us as Christians. And yet it is sometimes a very quick and I'd almost said a natural reaction. If someone offends us, someone hurts us, we want to retaliate in the same way. But again, this is where you and I as Christians can let our light shine when we treat those that mistreat us kindly. And Jesus says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. You know, when others make fun of us or ridicule us, we know our light is obviously shining. They're seeing something that they don't see or that they don't like, and they will try to get us down and out and to fall back. But stay strong and be assured Christ will help you. Page 71, Government and the Oath. Question 7, how shall we conduct ourselves toward the authorities?
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
What does our Savior say concerning the swearing of oaths?
He says, but I say unto you, swear not at all, let your communications be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whosoever is more than these cometh of evil.
Is this said of all oaths?
Yes, for James says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath.
What did Christ say of idle words?
But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment.
Yes, thank you. That is as far as we'll go this morning. Thanks for answering the questions, and you may be seated at this time. Government and oaths. You know, how are we to conduct ourselves toward the higher authorities? We have to remember that they're ordained of God. We have to respect them and follow, unless it makes us go against our Christian convictions, against what God's word teaches us. Then we follow Christ. And of swearing oaths, you know, in our country, we were still able to affirm. We do not need to swear in the Bible. And if we ever are in a court of law and we're asked to swear, you can ask to be excused and that you would like to affirm. And Christ also says of idle words, you know, don't speak unnecessary things because you'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And if you find yourself saying things that are inappropriate, things that are not edifying, things that aren't building up, repent, be sorry. And when we are sorry for sin that we've committed, we know Christ washes the slate clean, and that is something that is gone. So beware. Use your mouth wisely. We've come to the conclusion of our catechism for this morning, and before we go on to the second portion of our service, I want to give all of us an opportunity to pray. Uphold these baptism candidates in your prayers, not just today, but also in the days to come. So for those that are able, let us kneel for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen.
Take the blue book, turn to page 483. He, the pearly gates will open. 483, for those that are able, let's stand.
The pearly gates will open.
Trusting the Lord has heard our many prayers, we're encouraged to continue with our service this morning. For our second portion this morning, seeing it is Mother's Day, I want to focus on mothers. And when we honor someone, we evaluate that individual. We think back on what he or she, and today, what our mother has meant to us. You know, and it is sometimes very easy before one is a parent to often take one's parents for granted, maybe not fully understand some of their guidelines, maybe not being too happy with them, what we might think is being too strict, curfews we want no part of, and the list could go on. But then as one grows a little older, one gets married, one has one's own family, one starts to realize why we as parents, especially mothers, have a heart that we as fathers often take for granted. And in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, in verse 2, it says, and then also in verse 3, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, it is a very interesting statement, and it is also a part of the Ten Commandments. When we honor our parents, we show love, we show respect, and it is repeated throughout God's Word numerous times. Let's first of all go all the way back in the Old Testament to the book of Exodus in chapter 20 and in verse 12, the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may, thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, I've often pondered and wondered, does this just refer to longevity or also a good life? And it could very well be both. You know, when we learn to honor those and respect those that gave us life, that cared for us when we couldn't care for ourselves, those that loved on us, prayed for us, when we give them respect, follow their teachings, we often protect ourselves from a lot of sins that could maybe destroy our lives physically, emotionally, and even destroy life in itself, a premature death. But Jesus himself also quoted these words in the book of Matthew in chapter 15, in the first part of verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And then he also went on to contrast that and give the exact opposite. He that curses father or mother, let him die the death. So, being ungrateful, not showing respect, is not seen well by God. He says, there will be things that will happen that one will regret later. So it is important to give honor to our parents, to give honor to our mother. And the Apostle Paul, as we saw in the book of Ephesians, he wants us to apply this to our everyday life. In 2 Timothy in chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul reminds Timothy that his genuine faith was first seen where? In his grandmother and then in his mother. And today, as we put emphasis on honoring our mothers, we honor someone that loves us deeply. We need to honor them, we might say, accurately and honestly, and treat them with the respect and the kindness this type of character demands. Today, let's look at some of the qualities that a mother has as God's word points them out. Let us honor a mother's sensitive spirit. Mothers have a sensitive spirit that we as fathers maybe sometimes lack in. Jesus' mother, Mary, there already we see an example of sensitivity of someone that loves her child deeply. In Luke chapter 2, first of all, in verse 19, we read where Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, the things that were prophesied about Jesus being the Messiah, the things that she had been told before she gave birth to Jesus. When Simeon and Anna came into the temple and they presented Jesus, the things that they said, Mary kept in the depths of her heart. And those of us that are parents, and for us as dads, I think we can all relate that sometimes when we talk about certain things within the family circle, Mom somehow remembers things that we might have long forgotten. She has these things treasured deep in her heart. They're important to her. And when she relates, it'll probably come back to us, but we as dads often forget. And I don't mean to put us as dads down or say this is a bad thing. It's just a special gift a mom has been given. Then in the same chapter of Luke 2 and verse 51, where Jesus, after he was 12 years old, and his parents, I don't know if they lost him, but he stayed behind, and they were on their way home. They had gone to Jerusalem, and at the end of the day, they don't find Jesus. So they retrace their steps, they find him. And then after that, in verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But this is where I want to put the emphasis. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. You know, things that Jesus had said to her, you know, I'm about my Father's business, referring to his heavenly Father. Mary pondered them deep in her heart. A mother's heart is like a place where you store stuff. They don't forget. She treasures all the little details that happen in her family. And when her own children grow and marry and have children, then more treasures are added to that storehouse. There's treasures of grandchildren or great-grandchildren. And she is so sensitive. She observes it when someone is in her circle, whether that little one is maybe a little down, maybe hurting. They sense things that others often don't sense. They rejoice when a child shows maturity. They rejoice when a child commits his or her life to Jesus Christ. And she also can do the exact opposite. She grieves deeply when a child is rebellious and doesn't obey the teaching of her and her husband. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 10, in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You know, mothers also can be very burdened for their child. She can sense when something is wrong. And according to Proverbs 29:15, it says it brings his mother to shame. We as children maybe never intentionally want to bring our mothers to shame. But in the end, when we follow their teaching, we make them proud and they enjoy carrying their role very much. They bring honor to Christ that their child is following the Lord. A mother that was concerned about her child said, "The company my child keeps is bad, and I am brokenhearted." I don't know if there's another person like a mother that has that kind of capacity to be brokenhearted. And let's honor that spirit. And as we recognize this attitude in our mothers, we want to encourage all mothers. Don't be ashamed of this God-given capacity, but rather I want to encourage you, cultivate it, build it up, guard it, share it with your husband, and most of all, dedicate it to God so that he can use it and that the Holy Spirit can influence you to continue to be sincere. Let's honor a mother's sincere faith. An example of this we find in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, where Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also." You know, an unfeigned faith, a sincere faith, a deep faith, a faith that doesn't waver. This faith we see here, we might say, is found in two, or faith in two different ways. It is a faith that a mother lives. It is her daily life. It is her attitude. It is her influence for good or evil. And there is nothing that is to compare with this kind of faith. As I said, mothers can be a very positive influence. And we see also the exact opposite. And there's some stories in the New Testament. And the only reason why I bring these out is to point out how influential mothers are in their children's lives. In 1 Kings, in chapter 22, and in verse 52, we read, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin." So obviously, he had an evil influence by his parents. And also in 2 Chronicles, chapter 22, and in verse 3, "He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly." You know, it's hard to imagine a mother to influence her child to do wicked things. But a mother that is not godly, a mother that does not have Jesus in her heart, will not give good counsel. But what I really want to bring out is the influence of a mother we can never underestimate. It is powerful, and it is a mother that teaches us in all aspects of life. It is her faith that makes us strong and is a good example for us to follow. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, the writer says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Mothers, you have a divine gift, a gift to use to raise your children in a godly way, a gift that a father does well to support and to encourage. And we are divinely forbidden to forsake the teaching of our parents, in which a mother's guidelines are important. And this identical emphasis is repeated and also strengthened in Proverbs 6, verse 20. So if we are not to forsake a mother's teaching when we are young, neither are we to look upon her scornfully when she is old. In Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 22, "Hearken unto thy mother that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." You know, to show love and respect, to honor, never stops. Some time ago, a thought came to mind. You know, as important as it is to honor our mothers or our parents when they are alive, but the way we speak about them after they have passed on, regardless of how many years, will reveal how you loved or cared for your parents, how you respected them, whether you honor them or not. You know, and no parent is perfect. They will make mistakes, and I'm sure those of us that are parents, we're quick and ready to admit that. But for us as children later to hound on those mistakes and relive them or to refresh them by repeating them in our speech will not build us up. It will rather tear us down. Let us honor the positive things and let the other things go. Because parents give us their best God-given abilities. A mother is a part of God's plan to teach her children, and we are to respect her place under God. Thirdly, let's honor a mother's servant spirit. And this is well described in Proverbs chapter 31. You know, and sometimes in the past, I've been reluctant to share this passage. And you might wonder why. Because I have later heard mothers say, "There is no way that I even come close to being a Proverbs 31 mother. You know, and I will share it this morning, but not to discourage you. We need to remember each of you has a special God-given ability, and your gifts will not necessarily be every gift or every ability that is listed here. But your heart and some of these abilities is what God has blessed you with, and he requires no more than you giving him your best and sharing that with your family. Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She arises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, and clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So let's take note of a specific description that God's word gives of a mother who possesses the heart of a servant. It is a beautiful picture of an excellent wife and a mother whose worth is invaluable, as it said here, far above rubies. She is not a threat to her husband or in competition with him, according to verses 11 and 12. Her servant spirit extends to her family. She delights in serving them. She prepares meals diligently. She isn't lazy. She gets up a great while before daylight to provide for the needs of her family. And she even has time to consider investments. She's physically strong and takes care of her own health. She is industrious even to work at night. She's a servant to the poor and needy. She assists family finances. Strength and dignity are her qualities, and she's able to smile at the future. She thinks not of herself, but speaks wisely and kindly to others. In such a person, there's no idleness. She looks well to the ways of her household. There's no wonder that this type of mother is praised. Let's honor a mother's servant spirit. Mothers who have qualities like those of the woman in Proverbs 31 are worthy of honor. All these qualities are possible as the Holy Spirit is given freedom to develop them in a mother's life. This challenge goes out to every mother, and then let us, as sons and daughters, fulfill our responsibility by showing them genuine respect. To do so honors God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace, and Lord, we thank you for the blessing of faithful mothers. And Lord, may you bless them in a special way today and in the days to come. Lord, as we as families honor them today, help us to remember that this is a God-given ability that you have blessed them with. And Lord, may they be encouraged, may they be uplifted, and may you help them when at times they're hard on themselves and maybe cope with discouragement. Lift them up, place your arms around them. And Lord, today we also want to be sensitive to those that would love to be mothers, and for reasons that we don't understand, it hasn't happened in their life. May you comfort them and bless them also in a special way. And Lord, we might not understand, but there's a reason. And Lord, may you carry them through these difficult and hurting times. Lord, we thank you for your word as you spoke to us today. And Lord, may we be a blessing to others as we leave this building. We pray in your holy name. Amen. For any other concerns that are in your heart, remember, we can come before God's throne of grace at any time, wherever we are. And for those that are able, let's kneel for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen.
From the Blue Book, number 221, Love Lifted Me. For those that are able, please stand.
Love lifted me. Good morning. What a beautiful Mother's Day we have. Gorgeous sunshine, and it's just spring. It's just gorgeous out there, and it's Mother's Day. And thank you, Brother Art, for the Mother's Day message this morning. And as you were speaking here, Art, I was thinking of how many different ways mothers show their love. And for me to try to explain a mother's love, it would be impossible, for I'd have to be a mother. But I just remember when I was a young kid and my mom would be making cookie dough, and you know, as she's stirring, the spoon's going in circles, and if you're quick enough, you can reach your finger in and you can snatch just one fingerful of cookie dough. And you think about it, the wooden spoon is the one that feeds the family, right? It's preparing the food. But just as quick, if you ain't quick enough, that wooden spoon comes out and you get it on the top of your hand. So either way, I got a little bit of cookie dough, just maybe not on the finger, but I got it on the top of the hand. But that's a mother's love, right? She's preparing the food, and you try to snatch a little bit, and out comes the wooden spoon. So there's discipline all in one. So I just thought I'd share that. That's what I was thinking of as you're talking about mothers, what mothers all do. I have some announcements here. So May 18th, there will be, that's Ascension Day, that's this Thursday. There's only going to be one service, that's at 10 a.m., and the baptism candidates, those that can be here, will be up front here again on May 18th. And then there's going to be a presentation here. I'll just read it as it is written. For there's some mission trip that was to Cuba, and there was a mission trip that was made to Ancla de Amur. You're invited to attend the mission trip presentation on Tuesday, May 16th at 7 p.m. in the Winkler Sommerfeld Church. One presentation will be from the Winkler Sommerfeld Youth mission trip to Cuba last spring. One presentation will be from Rhineland and Winkler Sommerfeld Church members' trip to Mexico, Ancla de Amur, last spring. Bring a friend. Thank you. So I'm really looking forward to this. This is coming up Tuesday. And in between those presentations, there'll be some coffee and some sweets. If I'm not mistaken, this presentation will be done by Pete and Lisa Martins and Juan and Tina Bergen. So they were part of it and they're putting this on. But there's also some others that had gone on a missions trip not long ago. That was Jake and Chris Clausen, Dora Clausen, and I think Trevor. They had all gone on a missions trip as well. So, and it's nice to know that we have people here in our congregation that are going out there, they're going into the world, and they're spreading the gospel. And we need to lift them up. We need to lift them up in prayer before they go and while they're gone and when they come back. If they want to share something with us, it's just really good, awesome to see. And then if you or someone you know needs help, needs the handy van service to come to church, please call or text Juan Bergen. So they're looking for anybody. If anybody needs handy van service, so far it is not running, but if there's anybody that needs it, they're going to get it up and running for you. And then this coming Saturday, there's a men's breakfast. It's at 9 a.m. It's at Meadows Grill. It's usually very good breakfast. George is an amazing, amazing cook. He makes good breakfast. So it's for men's. So you're all welcome to come. And it's just by donation. So, and it's just good fellowship with us men. It's awesome. I've been there a few times. Can't make it every time, but it's really good breakfast. And lastly, you notice in the back of the bulletin, there is the baptism candidates. There's just one name was missing on that list. That's Peter Harder. My apologies that your name is not on this list, but I just noted this morning that your name was not on here, and I just mention it here. And on behalf of my wife, Susanna, and I wish all the mothers, happy Mother's Day. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry. We've come to the conclusion of our service. I want to thank you for coming. Thank you for your prayer support. It has meant a lot to us, and may God bless you for that. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may now go in the peace of our Lord.